All right. So we're going to shift gears now if we could.
Okay.
You know, we've got a guest coming on who we've never had on before, but I got to see him in King of Prussia a couple of weeks ago. I've seen some of his stuff over the years, but I got to see him speak live. He did what was a long presentation, and it was fantastic, and it was detailed. His name is Alex Newman. He's the senior editor of the New American Magazine. He's got a podcast. He's great, and he's on with us now. Alex, welcome to the Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860 in Philadelphia.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's great to be here.
We're really glad to have you because, you know, when I heard what you had to say and how deep you dove into not just what's happening in our schools, we cover that a lot. We spend a lot of time on schools, Philadelphia mm-hmm. schools, Pennsylvania schools. But you went into really the depth of why these things are happening, who's behind it, who's driving it. And I found that to be enlightening. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what I was hoping you might do with us today is kind of, you know, walk us through a little bit of exactly what's going on with the, you know, with this sort of trend in education. You know, how do you see it? You've spent a lot of time on it. You've been around the world. How do you see what's happening?
Well, thank you. And there's so much that could be said. Since the talk that I gave in King of Prussia that you attended, everything that I was warning about actually became official. So the UN through UNESCO, which is the education agency, just released a report literally a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, where they said that to comply with international human rights agreements, all governments around the world must either ban or regulate and control home education. And they specifically said all private education providers must teach the government-approved content. UN values must be reflected in the curriculum. If you're going to allow parents to educate their children, the government has to make sure that they're learning what the UN says must be taught. So we're moving very rapidly toward a global indoctrination system masquerading as a global public education system. And I believe it's the single greatest threat to everything we hold dear, to our faith, to our families, to our country, our liberty, our institutions, our civilization. If we don't deal with this, I always tell people, like, all the other battles are important. Right? We need to protect our gun rights. We need to secure the border. We need to reduce the size and scope of government. We need to lower taxes. We need to stop the killing of babies. All those things are very important. But if we fail on this, if we allow them to capture the hearts and minds of the next generation, you might as well just surrender on everything else because we're going to lose, period. 100% certain. There is no other alternative unless God himself intervenes miraculously. So we have got to take this seriously. The UN is coming for the hearts and minds of our children. It's very easy to prove at this point. And, you know, I think parents, it begins with parents, stop subjecting your children to this indoctrination and take charge of their education.
You know, if I remember right, let me see, if I go back and read the UN Charter, I think it says the UN was formed so that they could control the education of all children in the world as a central government. Wasn't that the purpose? Was that?
I don't think so.
That wasn't it? That
no.
wasn't, you know.
It's new.
That's the new? The new
it's an amendment.
This is an organization that is so terribly out of control, that is so terribly gone beyond its purpose, and at least its purpose as it was told to us. Mm-hmm. That I don't think that can be fixed. This UN can't be fixed. But your point is, we've got to fix our own education system. We are still a sovereign nation, and we are still parents that have responsibility for the education of our children.
Yeah,
absolutely. These are deeply interrelated issues, right? Like, yes, the UN is seeking to become a totalitarian global government. I was actually at UN headquarters last year at the Summit of the Future, where they came out and made it official. And to your point, you know, originally they told us that the UN was founded to promote international peace and security, to prevent nations from going to war with each other. But at the Summit for the Future last year, they openly came out of the closet and said, look, the original UN, they called it UN 1.0, that was set up for peace and security. The new UN, they called it UN 2.0, is now going to oversee education, the economy, the environment, artificial intelligence, the internet, combat misinformation, you name it, the UN wants to control it. And so that is their ultimate agenda. It's actually been the agenda from the beginning. And people need to understand the brainwashing of our children is literally the primary tool in their toolbox to bring that about. We're the bitter clingers. You know, Obama was in your state and mm-hmm. accused you guys of being bitter clingers, clinging to your guns and your Bibles. They know we're the bitter clingers, but they know that if they capture the hearts and minds of the next generation, it'll be no problem. Not only will the children of the next generation accept this evil agenda, they'll beg for it.
Can you give some examples to the audience about some of the things that you're talking about as far as, you know, some indoctrination? I know I just recently saw one of your podcasts where you talked about the scientific method and the fact that that is no longer being practiced in schools.
Yeah,
well, no wonder our science scores are so low everywhere, you know, if you're not doing the scientific method. Can you just talk a little bit about some of those examples?
I would love to. And so there's so many. I'll start with a couple that I think will be very interesting to Americans in particular. So 2018, the UN releases through UNESCO what it calls the International Technical Guidance on Sexuality Education. And I encourage people, if you have a barf bag handy and you don't mind being grossed out, grab a copy of this report. It's still available on the UN's website. You'll probably be so disgusted by the time you get through what they want to teach to kindergartners that you won't even read the rest because it's so horrific. It's so abominable. And they say this ought to be taught to every child in every country in the world. Now, bigger picture, right? Let's go now to the global standardization that we're seeing. The UN, through UNESCO, again, a gentleman, or maybe that's not the right word, an individual named Robert Mueller. He was the Secretary General of the UN. They call him the father of global education. So working with UNESCO, he developed what he called the World Core Curriculum. And this World Core Curriculum, according to Robert Mueller, needed to be taught to, again, every child in every school in every country around the world. I have this. It's on UNESCO's website. Anybody can find it. And I also have a unique document that the UN is trying to suppress, and that's the teacher's manual for the World Core Curriculum. And I think they're concerned now that the cat is out of the bag. So if you go to the teacher's manual, you'll find a foreword written by Robert Mueller. And in the foreword, he brags that it's all based on the teachings of a lady called Alice Bailey and this so-called Tibetan teacher, Jeval Kuhl. Mm-hmm. And I think to most people, that means nothing. But I'll give you a little not-so-fun fact. Alice Bailey was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company. true story. And it's still around today. It's called the Lucius Trust. It's New Age occultism writ large. And Alice Bailey claimed to be channeling, and all this can be verified, right? I know there are people listening right now think, that's crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But anybody can go verify this for themselves. The Tibetan teacher that was referred to in the foreword to the teacher's manual for the World Core Curriculum is not a Tibetan or a teacher or even a human being. Alice Bailey claimed to be channeling these spiritual entities she called ascended masters who were giving her secret insight into the coming of the New Age. And she wrote a whole book on how education was going to bring about this new age. It was going to bring about, she says, world federation, which is another word for world government.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's get back to the science standards that you mentioned. In 2004, Bill Gates of hell went over to UNESCO headquarters as the head of Microsoft at that time, and he signed a deal with them. And anybody can access this deal. Again, you can go to your favorite search engine and pull it up, Bill Gates, UNESCO, Microsoft deal. And they agreed, they signed an agreement that they were going to work on creating global education standards, global teacher training programs, global curricula, and creating the technology to make sure everything was standardized worldwide. Well, Bill Gates comes back to the United States, and then he starts pouring quietly at first millions of dollars into the development of something we know today as Common Core. By the time it was all done, Bill Gates had dumped $2.3 billion into Common Core. And so for anybody who's been living under a rock over the last 13 or 14 years, Common Core became the national standards for the United States of America. It started with English and math, which were both atrocious, by the way. The only English expert and the only math expert on the Common Core Validation Committee both refused to sign off. They said, this is terrible. This is ridiculous. We're not signing off on this. So they removed them from the committee, and that was the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought in the next generation science standards, which is being taught all across the country, just like Common Core. And to your point, you can go through 12 years of so-called public school, and if your teachers follow the standards, they will never hear the term, not one single time, the term scientific method. They'll learn about climate change at every grade level. They'll learn about gender nonsense over and over and over again,
mm-hmm.
but they will never hear the term scientific method. So that tells you pretty much everything you need to know about what these maniacs are up to. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg, but you asked for a couple of specific examples, so there you go.
Wow. Okay, the Lucifer Publishing Company should be in charge of our textbooks then? I mean, this is insanity.
Right. And if you don't agree, you're an extremist. So.
That's right. Now, Chris, yeah. You spend a lot of time with a rather sharp young dude. I mean, this kid,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know how you keep up with this kid. He is amazing. But, you know, what are you doing? I mean,
Yeah, well, I thought I was going to have a chance to actually get some tricks of the trade for a good homeschool education, because that's how we deal with our son. But, you know, you've scared the living bejesus out of me. they're coming after me now, which, you know, we do anticipate. But, yeah, you know, my son is homeschooled, and it's really interesting seeing the dynamic difference between him and some of the peers that he is socialized. Everyone is he socialized? Yeah, he's socialized. He's actually overly socialized. We could put a headset on him and he'd come here.
He could sit here with us today. We'd have a great
microphone
time.
And be no problem.
We should bring him in.
But the thing that, you know, there's two parts of what you're saying that resonate, right? One of the reasons that we do homeschool is because it is very important for us in our household that he gets a good foundational understanding of who God is and the world in which he exists and the spiritual battle that exists in the world that we exist in. And you are bringing that, I mean, literally to my doorstep by hearing that the educational system is now going to be the forefront of spiritual warfare. Mm-hmm. If we don't stand up, what I see, unfortunately, a lot of times is people use the term, I'm too busy. I have work. I have this. There was a gentleman who gave us this statement a long time ago. If you send your kids to Caesar, you can't be surprised when they come home Romans, right? If you don't want Romans, then you need to spend some time with your children, teaching them to be a different kind of citizen. And just having dinner isn't enough. You need to proactively take time in how they learn and what they learn, which, you know, we do, and other people tend to say they're busy. So for me, I think there's two questions that I have as I listen to what you're saying right now. One of the first ones is, what can the average individual do to start to impact the educational reality that their child deals with? And the second would be, what would you say is the most impactful way to get individuals to understand that the Luciferian system is what is now going to become the baseline of the educational environment that their children, the ones that they love, are going to be engaging with and interacting with?
Yeah, those are excellent questions, and those are things that I have been thinking about for 15 years now, since I wrote a book with the great Dr. Sam Blumenfeld called Crimes of the Educators. We've created a lot of resources to try to help people understand this. So through the New American Magazine, we've actually done two special issues that we distributed hundreds of thousands of copies of, if not more. I did a national speaking tour in 2019 based on one we did called Rescuing Our Children, and that's still available. We have it available in English or Spanish. And, you know, we recognize there are some people who will not read a whole book, who will not, sit through a 2-hour lecture. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to create a little resource that was simple, that was cheap, that was easy for people to distribute. And so that's a really valuable tool for trying to show people as to what the average parent can do. At this point, for me, it's really a no-brainer. We must remove our children from its system, and we must take charge of their education. So we've also created the Freedom Project Academy. It's an online K-12 classical Christian school. We've got over 1,000 students. I've been involved from day one. I serve on the board now. I have my own children enrolled in something called Classical Conversations, a wonderful, wonderful nationwide education system. They've got, it's bigger than most of the school districts in this country. There's only a handful of school districts that are bigger. We've got 135,000 plus students, over 1 million graduates, rock solid classical Christian education. And the great thing about these ideas is, you don't have to elect a new politician or pass a new law, right? Every parent in every one of the 50 states right now can say, I'm not subjecting my children to this anymore. And the faster we do that, the better off we will all be. And frankly, I don't believe the system can be reformed. We could talk about that if there's time. But if you go back and you look at the people who dreamed up this system, the people mm-hmm. who built the system, they all had as their intention, all the key people, Robert Owen, Horace Mann, John Dewey, their intention was never to create well-educated citizens. It was always to indoctrinate children to reject God, to reject their families, and to reject their country so we could move to a new type of system. So when the system is built on that, you can't reform it. It's not redeemable. We need something new.
So these things that you're talking about are something that I think most parents aren't aware of. But what parents are aware of is that the problem in our school system, because we hear this every single day, is money. We're not spending enough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Now, when you look at the results, I'll give you some Philadelphia results. This is from 2023 to 24. Mm-hmm. English language proficiency, 34%. That's unchanged. Math, 22%. That was a 5% improvement mm-hmm. from the previous. Science, 40% proficiency. So the schools aren't working, and the answer we're told is, well, you're not spending enough money. Is it money?
Yeah, and they've been saying that for years, right? It's like the ultimate scam.
It's a grift.
And I challenge people to think about this in any other industry, right? Like the government itself, their own numbers show that less than 1 in 3 students can even read or write or do math at a proficient level. And their level of proficiency is an absolute joke, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody should mistake that for real proficiency. Less than 1 in 3 nationwide, okay? Apply this, say, to a fast food restaurant. Just imagine you walk into a fast food restaurant and less than 1 in 3 customers who orders a cheeseburger actually gets a cheeseburger. Over 2/3 get, you know, decomposing rodents on the moldy bread, plateful of cockroaches. And then they say, oh, well, you wanted a cheeseburger? Oh, well, you know, you're going to have to give us more money.
Right.
I mean, the police would be kicking in the door before the sun came up the next day and hauling these criminals to jail. And yet when it comes to the public school system and the minds of our children, we say, oh, okay, you need more money? Oh, okay, whatever it takes. I mean, it's such a gigantic scam. It's hard to imagine that people still fall for this. There's tons of data. More spending does not correlate at all to better results. If you don't believe me, look at Baltimore, look at Chicago, look at these. There are whole schools where they spend $30,000 per victim per year that can't produce one single child that can read or write or do math. And, so it's insane.
And to throw in specific numbers, which we've covered on the show a lot, for the Philadelphia School District, the average spending per student is $23,000. Mm-hmm. If you look at the state average, it's $23,000. So Philadelphia is not underfunded.
No.
The national average is $18,500. And if you look at, you know, some surrounding states, you'll see that we are spending more in Pennsylvania as a whole than these other states are spending. And it's you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000 more per student. You know, Wisconsin, $17,000 per student. They're number 7 in education. Texas, $14,257 per student. They're number 25. Ohio, $17,000 per student. They're number 30. Pennsylvania, I'm going back a couple years, so this is an older number. This is a couple years older. $21,000 at that time, number 39 in education. So we're spending more than any of those other states, and we're getting worse results.
It's not money.
Yeah.
It's a concerted effort at the end of the day. If you have
the more money you give them, the worse it will get, because they'll have more money to buy more sophisticated technology to enforce compliance. They'll have more money to buy the newest and most wicked curricula and resources that are out there. Giving them more money is like pouring jet fuel on a dumpster fire. It's the worst thing you could do. They need less money. They need less victims. We need a mass exodus from this system. And frankly, I think more and more people are finally starting to realize that. And so I'm pleased with the momentum that we have. But, yeah, I mean, these lies that they just need more money, it's so utterly preposterous. It's amazing that there are still people who believe that scam.
Mm-hmm. High-end babysitting. I actually went into a school. I'm not going to reference the school district. As an educator, they had me come in and talk to the children about some entrepreneurial things. We took a tour. We go up to one of the rooms, and there's probably 10 or 15 kids sitting around watching a video. And I said, no, what's this room? These are the room for the kids that can't learn. Now, I'm talking about, I wasn't in a high school situation. I wasn't even in a middle school. I was in an elementary school. So we're talking about.
And they've determined that
babies,
these little children are incapable of learning.
So
isn't that their job?
We put them in this room and we let them watch videos, right? This is what is broken with this system. Because they will categorize you and label you as something, and now you are in this track. It looked like a mill for either poverty or a different kind of revenue stream that's going to be recidivism in the criminal justice system. Either way, those children had been failed.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the epiphany moments when I said, I don't think I can allow, when I have a child, my child to participate in this kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
I need more interaction with it. So, you know, Alex is absolutely right. I think the more people that start to go down this route, I can tell you for under $23,000 a child, I have a child that can speak three different languages, is in kindergarten, is doing long division and looking forward to his multiplication and other things. It's time spent educating the child. One of the best things, in my opinion, that happened post-COVID is the fact that certain parents were then forced to involve themselves in the educational process. Mm-hmm. One, they started to realize what their children were really learning and they didn't like it. And they also figured out that there were other ways that they could involve themselves and the community to help educate the child in the way that they wanted, mm-hmm. that made more sense for them. So, you know, I applaud what Alex is doing. I look forward to working with him more on getting this out, because the money thing is, it's a grift. You know, when the teachers union controls the education, when the teachers union controls the political affiliation with who they are going to dictate gets the money and gets, make sure that they get their pound of flesh from it. To Alex's point, it's built on a very shaky and rough foundation. So
Alex, we've got about a minute and a half left, and you know, these conversations go so fast. And you know, I watched your presentation. It went, I don't know how long you spoke. It didn't seem long, but when I looked at the watch, I'm like, wow, you know, this is a complicated topic. So hopefully we can get you back again to get into this in more detail. But, you know, what would be sort of your last sort of comments? We've got about a minute left. What would be your last points that you would like these parents and listeners to think about?
Well, I would encourage parents to think and pray about this. This is one of the most important decisions you will make in your life and the life of your children and the life of your grandchildren. So make sure you're making a well-informed decision. Don't rely on the fake media for information. Get over to thenewamerican.com. You can sign up for our free newsletter at libertysentinel.org and get good information on this. And once you rescue your own children from the burning building, let everybody else know too, because folks, this is critical. It's not even just about the education of our children. Everything is on the line.
Well, Alex Newman, senior editor at The New American, and Liberty Sentinel, you're easy to find. We're going to post your links in our social media so the listeners can find more from you. But thank you so much for joining The Conservative Voice on WWDB AM 860 in Philadelphia. And we'll be back in just about 4 minutes, everybody.